Yep.
Yeah, that's my next meeting with my husband.
That's going to happen.
Kind of give him what to do.
Yeah.
Enough hours. Shops to meet.
Yeah.
It's a couple minutes, 2 minutes after six. And so I'd like to call the Historic Preservation Committee meeting to order for Wednesday, December 17th. First item on the agenda is to have our roll call. Fredericks?
Here.
Copperwood?
Here.
Metzler?
Here.
Pasco?
Here.
Rob? Here. Next item on the agenda is to modify or adopt our agenda. Any comments, any changes? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number three, approved minutes from October 22nd, 2014. Any comments on the... seems like a long time ago. We didn't have a quorum last meeting, so we weren't able to actually make a judgment on this. So, if not, then I'll entertain a motion for that.
Motion to
approve. I second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number four, announcements. Trevor.
I have a few. The update on the National Register Foundation grant has gone to the state. They're kind of in a backlog because of all the tax credit stuff that was going on. So I spoke with someone this afternoon, and they're still determining whether we'll make it on the February agenda. If we don't make it on that agenda, we push back to May. Otherwise, the final document that Legacy put together has been submitted. So,
Trevor, did you say February, or if not that, May?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
The board only meets every few months.
So.
Yeah.
That would explain it.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure I heard you right.
And then the update on the Riverside Drive corridor study, we the board selected a or approved grid to go ahead and be the consultant to work on that project for us, and we're working on the contract now, and hopefully have the project started in January.
Anything else? Does anybody on the committee have an announcement? And we'll move on to item number five, public appearances.
Jim Burke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I was on the original committee that selected the contractor to do the intensive survey, and for 2 years I've been requesting, actually 2 years this month, I've been requesting the village staff and this committee to contact the National Park Service and have the study redone. And my basis for that is that we paid for a municipal intensive survey and we got a reconnaissance survey instead. And we got a intensive survey of a handful of small, non-complying neighborhoods. And this should go to the National Park Service for review. And we're passing laws that impact, that have tax implications for our residents. And with a bad survey, we're having residents deleted from the tax benefits of being in a historic district. Specifically, Old Alloway was deleted, and Heritage Hill was deleted, and in their place, some Sunset Park was inserted, and Sunset Park doesn't meet the federal guidelines. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 6 under old business, approval of raising ordinance amendment. Trevor, do you want to give us some? Now, we've seen this a few times, and this is probably or potentially our the time that we'll actually, you know, make a motion and come to some decision. You want to just kind of refresh our memory about what's changed since last time? And
I think the last time we met, we had a few options. We had an A, B, and C option. One included the verbiage directly into the raising ordinance, but that was kind of duplicated what already existed in Chapter 424. And another option was having separate, and a third option was to have them separate, but with some of finalized language added in there. I think from last meeting we combined the finalized with also separating them, you know, just directing you from Chapter 13 to Chapter 424. Really, other than that, that's all that's changed from our previous discussion.
Thank you. The item that I recall of importance that we added last time was the reference to the fact that the RAISE ordinance, you know, allows and encourages that process to take place concurrently with any new development that's going to go on that site. If you have a building that you want to raise, you more than likely have a reason to do that, and you have a plan, and you'll be coming to the village to, you know, for building permits and site plan reviews or whatever the project requires. And so we wanted to make sure everyone knows who reads this that it's stated that they don't have to wait till the end, in other words, and delay their project. So, and I think that was the change that I recall. It was, I think, most important to address that issue that came up in our earlier discussions. Anyone else have any comments or observations on it? We've already had the public appearance, and we are under item number 7 going to suspend the rules so we can have the discussion about our open house. And if you could wait.
This has to do with regards to property rights and the raising ordinance.
Okay. We need to have a motion to suspend the rules from the committee.
Is there one?
So we need a motion and a second to suspend the rules at this time. So
motion.
We have a motion.
I'll second it.
And we have a second. Any discussion? All those in favor of suspending the rules for this discussion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. Recently, we've had a number of substandard homes demolished in Alloway, and they're being replaced by new homes. And several of those homes were actually identified as the intensive survey as potentially eligible. So my feeling is that if a property owner is forced to delay up to 6 months, like is currently planned, that could have an adverse impact on whether somebody would buy a substandard home, tear it down, and build up something nice in its place. For example, we have homes along Riverside Drive and down on Lazar that were recently demolished, and there was no objection from this committee. The committee wasn't even aware that they were being torn down. but they came down and the people immediately went ahead and started building something new. So I think that putting in place a six-month delay on a raise would have an adverse impact on the housing stock and the quality of the housing stock in Illinois. Thanks.
Yeah. Any comments from the committee?
Yeah, it's not necessarily a six-month delay. It could be up to 6 months, but more than likely it will not be. It'll be within one meeting. If I understand it right, the intentions are.
I think that only applies to buildings that are designated as historic landmarks or contribute to a historic district as recognized by either local designation or on the state or national register. So it would only be those 13 homes if they were either locally designated or on the state or national register, and if we would have those historic districts that were potential historic districts that were identified in the intensive survey. So I don't know that any of the homes that would be in either of those areas were the ones that were torn down.
Well, that's as it stands today. But those districts, 10 years from now, more districts will qualify, and properties in that district may be affected.
Okay.
It's true that may happen, but you know we can only deal with what we have in front of us now, which is what can we do to safeguard the properties that are on the historic register. You know, we can't. Make judgments about what might happen 10 years from now. We can't have I don't believe we should have a regulation, an ordinance that can cover everything. We can always make amendments. Trevor?
Actually, it's a 60-day delay, so only 2 months. And then that's only for residential buildings, and then there's a 90-day delay period. How the proposed amendment is now, there's a 90-day delay period for commercial buildings. And that's only changing from our current ordinance, which delays it 30 days, which is required for us to do by the state. So
I thought 6 months didn't sound right.
And that was discussed, so it's
60 days.
60 days,
No more than 60 days on a residential property.
The pure in bond life, you're 6 months.
Right.
And then final act does a year on commercial buildings. But I think if I understood correctly from our previous conversations, we decided 60.
Yeah, and for properties that are on the historic register, the state requires 30 days, so we're only adding 30 more days. And we have already said that we can run that process concurrently with any development plans. So I don't feel that that's too punitive, personally. Any other discussions on this item that we've suspended the rules for? Hearing none, I guess I'll entertain a motion to return the rules.
We'll make a motion to return to the regular order of business.
I second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. So now we're on item number 6 still, and we're reviewing whether or not we want to, you know, make a recommendation.
By Trevor, is it the approval of the raising ordinance and the landmark and historic preservation as noted?
Correct.
Because we have, so it's two or both of the ordinances, right?
That's correct.
I'll make a motion to approve the raising ordinance amendment and the landmarks and historic preservation ordinance amendments.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries. And the next step in the process is that this will go to the village board.
We'll go to
Planning Commission next. At their next, will it be the next meeting? Oh, the next meeting was canceled.
Right.
I mean, the one this month was canceled. So
the end of January.
It'll be in January. Thank you. The next order of business is item number 7, discussion on information gathered from the December 3rd open house for National Register eligible homes. And I think that for this item, we should suspend the rules also so we can have a discussion. So I entertain a motion to suspend the rules.
Motion to suspend the rules.
I second it.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. How do we want to discuss this?
Howard, we have a resident from one of the individually listed homes, Ms. Fowler. I don't know if you want.
We'll start there.
All right.
Good evening. I'm Cecile Fowler, and I'm at 3430 Langley Road in the Village of Alloway. We had gotten a postcard that had gone out for the December 3rd meeting with respect to an invitation for the nomination for the National Registry. My husband did attend that meeting and then had been part of that discussion, and then there was information as to go further if you were interested. I did make an email contact with the state office, and they were very cooperative and emailed back and said that Trevor was my man. So I was to contact locally and get information and then move forward. When I contacted Trevor, he had indicated that sometimes the process works where there's a grant that's available at the village level in order to be nominated. The home that we reside in is actually a Minahan's home, and it's at 3430 Langley, but you actually go down St. Francis Drive, and then you actually drive around it and to get to Riverside if you're coming from Webster. I believe it was built in the 20s, 30s, and pretty much has retained the character that it had back then.
Just some comments on the open house, and for the couple of committee members that weren't able to attend, I'd say that all the potential historic districts were represented by at least a couple people from each of the districts, as well as some of the potential individually eligible properties. So I didn't really see any open opposition from anybody, and a lot of them were going back to their neighbors to find out if they could get some more support to have for the districts, to have the districts be listed.
How many homeowners? How many homes were represented?
I don't have the list. Did you happen to bring that along, Trevor?
Yeah, there's eight residents.
Pardon?
Eight? Yeah, they signed the sheet.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do a count that evening. It seemed like there's more there.
I think couples, or there was a mother, son.
Mm-hmm.
Was one potential district represented more than the other? Were there more from, say, Miramar?
I think Bobby and I spoke with a few representatives from the Miramar district, and they all seem very interested. So I didn't speak to anyone from Sunset.
Yeah, this one, this drive would be Sunset. 3325 this time.
They did ask some questions, I know, the Sunset people.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, you had a...
Were there any misconceptions or apprehensions about historic preservation that have been either in the original home or neighborhood?
I think one of the bigger ones was that listening in your home, you're required to do certain things when you make improvements. And Diana said that that was usually only the case when a local ordinance mandates that. And the state doesn't really mandate anything unless you're seeking funding for the project. That's how I understood it.
And if you did seek funding for the project, then there was a five-year kind of moratorium, if you will, on making any changes that were out of the context. I mean, they had to maintain the property as it was developed by using the grant for 5 years before they could do it. Is that, did I hear that correctly? Yeah.
Was there a presentation here then? Or did people just sort of come and ask questions about it?
There was. Diana gave probably a 20-minute, 30-minute presentation.
Like a Q&A.
And then a Q&A following.
Was that true with the board? I think I saw something.
Yes.
All right. I believe that the question, the big question was whether this board was advisory or regulatory. And the board, as it sits now, is taking a regulatory position. But you think that you're really only advisory, and that's where the rub was. Green Bay has a advisory-only regulation, and they're not allowed to become a certified local government. So that's been the real sticking point with the state. The state wants the certified local governments to be very, very heavy-handed and to have regulatory authority, whereas in this board thinks that they're acting as they're telling the public that they're advisory, but in reality they're being pushed by the state to be regulatory. And that's the big issue.
I believe that the only way that we would be regulatory is if somebody was locally designated and then they needed to come to us for the certificate of appropriateness. But if these properties just went through the National Registry, I don't believe that we would be regulatory. We would be advisory. If somebody wanted to do some work, we would try to find a consultant or gather information or steer them in the right direction. But if you were on the National Register, other than raising your building, which we just looked at that ordinance, and that would cover that, I don't think that we would regulate national or state-listed property as far as what they're doing to the property.
I think a careful reading of the Certificate of Appropriateness indicates the direction that the state wants the board to go. Everything from regulating the gutters and the windows and the doors. If that is on your Certificate of Appropriateness, and if you weren't intending on regulating it, it shouldn't be on the certificate.
That is only for locally designated properties, and the only locally designated one is the guardhouse.
And the state wants the certified local governments to regulate the properties that have been approved by the state. And that's the difference why they won't allow Green Bay become a certified local government, is they say that Green Bay isn't regulatory enough. And De Pere is now trying to become more regulatory. They're trying to get certified. They're trying to get individually designated properties.
Locally designated?
Locally designated. They're trying to get a couple of them on there. So the state is pushing hard for these committees to become regulatory. And there's a lot of pushback from the certified local governments because they just want to be advisory, but the state wants them to be regulatory.
And I haven't heard that from the state. I don't know if you have.
I was going to ask Trevor if they contacted us.
At all of their meetings.
Because I know that Mary Jean, when she spoke with us about a year ago, she said that they are only advisory, and they did not have any locally designated properties at that time.
Since that time, since we spoke, Mary Jane's been pushing hard to get people under her regulation.
Oh, see,
so she's got two properties already designated that she wants to be regulated.
When I spoke with her at that time, she didn't want to be that like that.
Yeah, so they're being pushed. Everybody's being pushed by the state to become regulatory instead of advisory, and that's where the rub is. That's why Green Bay is not a certified local government, because they're strictly advisory. Hmm. So my point is that if you're not intending to regulate the things that are on the certificate of appropriateness, those items should be deleted. For example, I had to give Steve a call when my mother-in-law's house, which was designated as potentially eligible, she wanted to replace her garage door and her gutters, and so I had to give Steve a call and make sure that that wouldn't impact her, you know, her listings, and we went through the process, and that's how I know these things can become an issue. So she lives in Old Alloway, and her house was identified as potentially eligible,
but not one of the 13.
One of the survey, right?
Okay.
So the survey wasn't done right. That's a whole other question. But her house was identified, and says that, well, if it's identified, you might get tax credits, and you have to look at all these things. And she didn't qualify for the tax credits because her neighborhood was not approved. So those are some of the things that come up. If you're not going to regulate those items, they shouldn't be on the certificate of appropriateness.
Let me ask the committee.
There's an awful lot of items on there that shouldn't be regulated. The gutters and, there's a lot of things that you shouldn't be regulating.
But that our certificate of appropriateness is only for locally designated.
And the... At some point, you may decide to locally designate a historic district, which is, whether it's 12 months from now or 12 years from now, this committee has the right to designate that whole area as a locally designated area, historic district. You can designate anything locally. You can locally designate anything, and then it has all the protections that the National Register has. So it's a property rights issue, and it's important.
Let me just ask the question, does the committee feel that we need to review the specific wording in the certificate of appropriateness, or are we okay knowing that there's only one locally designated property?
Today there's only one.
Yeah, and knowing that going forward, if we see others coming, then maybe we could revisit the certificate of appropriateness at that time to make sure it still fits the needs that that we have. I guess I'm asking if there's anything that we feel that we should be doing now other than just letting it go the way it is.
Well, I believe earlier this year we had the state review our certificate of appropriateness application and our locally designated historically locally designated landmark application too, didn't we? And they said that they looked fine.
Yeah, they liked it a lot. They liked it a lot, which scares me. They like it a lot. They're pushing you. I had suggested that we use Whitefish Bay as a model, and then they suggested Fond du Lac. Whitefish Bay is a community, highly educated, very wealthy. They know how to protect their rights down there. We should have followed Whitefish Bay instead of Fond du Lac.
Didn't we look at Whitefish Bay, Trevor?
Yes, we did.
And yeah. I thought that they didn't have a form. There was something about it that I couldn't find enough information on their website.
Right. They were smart and very advisory. And they don't regulate.
Maybe that's why I couldn't find anything.
There you go. So you have some Whitefish Bay, and the reason that I focus on Whitefish Bay was because our contractor identified Whitefish Bay as very similar to Alloway, and she had done the study on Whitefish Bay also, and so that's why I paid attention to that. I've been aware of it for a while.
And they are not a certified local government.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of anomalies on that thing, but Whitefish Bay is a wonderful community with wonderful housing stock, and that's something that we should emulate.
Steve, you got a question?
Is it the wish of the committee that you be only advisory and that you not be regulatory? Is that what I'm hearing?
We are regulatory on something that would be locally designated, but if we would lose our certified local government status, like Jim is saying Whitefish Bay
have? Your status gives you the permission to
apply for grants.
So you can regulate anything.
Okay.
You can regulate, let's say that you wanted to regulate the Murphy Coles estate and the gate on there. You could regulate that, and then the state would have to jump through hoops to tear down the gate on Murphy Coles.
We would have to locally designate it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's something that you could do in one meeting, and that you could designate the Murphy Coles estate as a historically significant property to our village, locally designated, and then the state has to jump through a bunch of hoops, and then they're required to give us a wide berth in tearing it down and modifying Riverside Drive.
No, so I did speak to the state about that and about whether the fence was looked at and the gate was looked at, and because it was just a remnant and it wasn't a complete
fence. Yeah, that's Jim Drager's words, and I know Jim, and he looked at it, and when I pushed it and I got that fence resurveyed, he told me that it will not be on, we will resurvey it for you, but the final result is it will not be on there.
Because it's a remnant, they told me.
Well, that's a technical term, and I have no idea what remnant means. But we have remnants out there, and that's an important structure. And it's only important if it's in your backyard. And but we're not here to debate that particular case. But if this board wanted to designate that as a local landmark,
you haven't answered my question yet. I think we've gotten a little bit off track from my question. My question was, what are the wishes of this committee in terms of your regulatory powers? And I'm still a little bit confused as to what sort of regulatory powers you have to have and what regulatory powers you want to have.
I think on issues other than locally designated, and again, the committee, I'm the new guy here still, so you can correct me if I'm saying this wrong, but I believe on issues other than what we've been talking about for locally designated properties, that we wish to be advisory and that we direct our actions in that way. And so I'll ask for comments about that.
That's how I thought it was going to be, yes.
But you want the authority to designate things as locally relevant, and then that would give you regulatory power over those properties.
I don't know that we would pursue local designation. We would rather have a homeowner come to us to ask to be locally designated.
Right. Okay.
We are actively pursuing that.
Let's say in the first ward area along Derby Lane, and then we call Robinson Hill, that is...
you have to let people have conversations.
Well, that's okay, but that's where you're going. You have the right to regulate, and if this board changes 5 years from now and you have a new group in that says, we want to designate the first ward as historic, and we want to regulate everything that's on our certificate of appropriateness. And so that's the guideline that you have to use, because the board is going to change at some point in the future. And that what you're setting up now is going to survive, you know, this board and for the next 10 or 20 years.
And
so if it's on the certificate of appropriateness, those are the items that you wish to have the authority to regulate, whether you regulate them now or in the future.
Can a future committee of like this one simply change the rules for local designation or the certificate of appropriateness?
It would have to go to the village board. It's an ordinance. And if we designated something as a locally designated landmark, that goes to the village board, I believe, also. So we have a check mark on the application to see if the homeowner is in support of it. We can't require that the homeowner support it, but we can take their wishes into consideration.
Right.
If they were opposed to it, we don't have to say they are opposed, so we are not doing it. But we can take that into consideration, and then so can the village board, because it also goes to the board.
I remember the discussion now. Thank you. I remember the discussion on the forum. Thanks.
Anything else on this topic, or anything else relating to our information session that we had?
I guess I have a question. So what would be the procedure going forward? To get them to sound clear and
to apply for a grant for your home.
Okay.
This your home. We'd apply, I believe the application deadline is September, right, Bobby?
The letter of intent is due in September, but the actual application is due in November.
Okay. So then we'd find out then if we have a grant pursue nominating your home. You don't have to have the grant to nominate your own. You can do that at any time. But the grant would allow us to hire a consultant to do it for you. So I guess then after November, then we would refer a consultant to take on your project. And if the committee wanted to do a district as well, we could and probably take out a year.
Did you hear from the state? Can we do both at the same time? We
yes.
Can. Okay.
If you have a, if you can apply for yourself, our current only residents, they did it themselves because they wanted the tax credits right away and they didn't want to wait for the grants to come through. So you can do it yourself. Federal guidelines say that it should take about a contractor about 20 hours to do on yours to write the application. Typically, it costs about $3,000 for a single family home to do it without the grant. So that's and then because you're locally potentially eligible, already designated by the state, you already are entitled to those tax credits without going through the process. So once they designate you through the intensive survey process, you're automatically qualified for the tax credits. That's what was said at the meeting. And then, you know, the paperwork can catch up later. But, let's say that you wanted to do a qualified renovation. You needed a new roof. You needed the painting done. You needed a new furnace. You needed new windows, new gutters, anything, and there's a $10,000 minimum you have to spend. But because you've already been designated as potentially eligible, the state says you're automatically qualified to go ahead and do that, no matter how long it takes to get your designation. So you're in a good position, a very good position, as are the other 12 that were designated.
Related question. There are a host of reasons I can think of to be interested in this sort of designation. What sort of at the top of your list? Why are you interested in this?
Well, it isn't so much for the credits because we've just done the new roof. We've just done everything.
Yes, I was going to say, you've already done those
just
the furnaces and the roof. And we can't go backwards.
No.
Yeah.
So that's all. But just going forward, I think, you know, I think it's a wonderful idea to preserve some of these homes well into the future, and that's probably more for the
protection of the
integrity
of the home.
Yeah. I'm one of those tree huggers, but I'm also probably a house hugger too.
Yeah.
You have some great trees on your property. I walk my dog by your property most days, except when it's raining or snowing hard. If you wanted to pursue this, how can the village support you in terms of, if you need support in terms of finding a contractor or having references for contractors that we have interviewed or used in the past? You know, I guess I'm trying to find out what you might want to ask the village for.
Because again, we're not looking for the, you know, some immediate credits of some sort. So see if there is grant money available in order to go forward with it. But I think it always is helpful when, you know, a village or whomever is behind a particular home. I think it just gives it more credibility than just someone filling out the application themselves, trying to go through the process. Mm-hmm. And someone that has done it before certainly can move it along that much more efficiently.
I know I lived in a neighborhood that was, it wasn't designated as a district, but there were several homes that were in my past life where I lived in Minnesota. And, you know, those of us who were not designated still, and I use this example, how when we redid our home, we tried to, our home was built in 1914. And so we tried to find out, well, what kind of colors were used, you know, so, well, we don't have a little plaque on our house, but we can still make it look like it belongs in the neighborhood. And so it's hard to know how that can, you know, prevail around the rest of the neighborhood. You know, if once that someone does it, then maybe someone else will be doing it as well.
Yeah. And I'm sure that whoever is used for a consultant just has all access to all the records to learn about all the history.
Mm-hmm.
I think we show you the report they've done for two of our municipal buildings, and it's very extensive. Very nice.
Any other topics related to this that we should discuss? And also going forward, should we, are we in a position to talk about what our next steps might be, or what was recommended by our consultant, or are we going to, you know, what does the committee think about what we might do next?
Bobby, were you going to meet with one of the districts?
The Miramar district asked me if I would attend a neighborhood coffee after the holidays.
To find out what their interest is.
Mm-hmm. Great. Wow. That's what we need, somebody like you on the inside.
I'm sure it's more to answer questions.
Well, yeah, no, but that's, if they weren't interested, they
a
wouldn't they wouldn't have asked you for coffee if they weren't interested in learning more. Yeah, great. If we can support you in any way, I mean, it looks like you're self-sufficient in doing that, but if you'd like any of us to come along, feel free to ask.
And then at the meeting, we did kind of ask the people that were in attendance to let Trevor know if they were interested, or if they would be in touch with their neighbors, have them let us know so we could find out if there is enough interest to start looking at historic districts. I don't know if anybody's contacted you since then. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the next step, is to keep doing what we're doing now, you know, having your folks come in, and Bobby's going to find out about Miramar, and at some point we will, hopefully we'll have enough of a sense of which district might be, which district wants it.
Now, would it be helpful if more homes in Cecile's neighborhood were designated historic? Do you feel that your neighborhood is a historic neighborhood, or how do you feel about the homes in your neighborhood? Historic is anything built before 1960 and retains the integrity of the neighborhood when it built. So that's the question is, because the Historical Society feels that Sunlight Park is one of our best assets, that we have Sunlight Park in Old Alloway. And we felt that Sunlight Park was overlooked by the state. So Cecile's in the middle of Sunlight Park. She's one of the premier homes there. And we feel that that neighborhood in particular needs to be singled out as of especially high-quality homes of historic nature.
And we continue to ask the state about that, and they do
and
continue
they
to tell us no.
I know. So I think that they completely botched and they tampered with our survey and they shouldn't have. And that was my complaint, and that's why I've asked for the village to contact the National Park Service. I think that whole neighborhood and
I know when Tracy was still here, she did contact them.
Tracy wasn't helpful.
Well, she contacted the National Park Service, but I don't know that they ever returned calls. But I know she did try calling them.
I spoke with the National Park Service, and they said that it's the village that, because they're here locally, that it's the village that really should be taking the lead on that, and that they'll take action if the village contacts them. So they were, and I can walk through the steps, but I don't want to be the only one that's out there talking about this. I think that asking for a review of the study to make sure that it was done correct, properly, is an appropriate step.
Do we need to talk about anything else on this topic? Or are we okay for the near future?
I think wait and see what
yeah,
Bobby finds
that's
when
pretty
she
neat.
Has coffee
yeah.
with them and,
yeah.
and let us know, and we'll keep Cecile on our list
yeah.
then too, now that we know that you're interested.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many, was there a limit on how many we could apply for with a grant? Or?
No.
Yeah.
No,
she's $45,000.
Per year? Okay.
Per year. So you can buy as many as $25,000.
Okay.
And we can do single family home concurrently with a district, for example. It's not like we have to only do one at a time. We could do, I mean, you know, within the constraint of the dollars, which I think we're constrained anyway. But, you know, yeah, we could do.
Correct.
We could do a district plus a single family home, in other words.
I spoke with Diane, and she said that would be perfectly fine, and that actually be the favorable time to do it that way. She said the only time you couldn't couple a project is if there's at different levels or different stages within the community. For instance, doing that intensive survey per section, community, and an individualistic for a couple of those projects. For listing
an
individual home and
a district,
those could be coupled together. So.
Good. If that's all on item number 7, I think before we move forward, we need to bring the rules back.
I'll make a motion to return to the regular order of business.
I second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 8, next meeting date, January 28th, and agenda items that we might want to have on that day. Bobby, do you think you'd have your coffee meeting by...
I don't know.
Don't
head
know.
Out
it's,
to them.
It was after the holidays.
Yeah.
So that could mean...
They just said after the holidays.
After the holidays.
Yeah.
If you do have something, obviously you can bring it
sure.
bring it to the meeting. Trevor, do you have any suggestions? Do you have anything that you've heard tonight or that you've been observing up to now that we should have on our agenda for next meeting?
Nothing immediately for the next meeting. I don't know if after Bobby hears something, you know, later on in late spring, if we want to have a, you know, invite Dinah back or someone from the state, they said they would certainly do that and talk to the people that are for sure interested in sending a letter of intent up in September.
So that would be a good next step then, or that would be the appropriate next step if there's interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think she'd be willing to do that. I think. So we have a meeting date scheduled for January 28th, and we're unclear exactly what agenda items will be there, but we should fix the meeting date anyway. Is that the fourth Wednesday of the month, I assume?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have my my calendar. Okay. Do we need a motion to approve that date, or is it? We don't need a motion.
No.
We're good. Okay, then item number 9, adjournment. You need a motion for that.
Motion.
I'll second it.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. We're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you for coming, Cecile. I don't know
thank
if you,
you
noticed, but we have a 7-member board and we are 2 members short. So either you or your husband would be interested.
We were twisting your husband's arm when he was, Barb and I talked with him after the meeting, and we were trying to encourage him to
join us.
Because he said he was interested in history. And, you know, because of his line of work and just in general, he was interested in history. So that would be great. Trevor, do we need to turn this? Do I need to flip a switch here?
Can we push the stop button?
The stop button. Well, if I take my glasses off, I can. I'll let you do it.